Welcome back to another edition of the Journey Podcast, where I have conversations with people and talk about our daily journeys, and I invite them to ask me two questions, and we see where the conversation takes us. So if you've been listening for a while, welcome back. If you are new to the podcast, then I would totally encourage you to subscribe. You can go in any podcast app and just search Jamestown Harbor Church and subscribe to our podcast feed there, or you can go on our website, jamestownharborchurch.org, go to the sermon section and just search for our Daily Journey series, and you will find all the episodes that we have. And you know what? We haven't had a bad one yet. It's been an interesting conversation. I really enjoyed all of my conversations with folks who've been on. And in particular, I really love this conversation with Kevin. Kevin Rosema joins me today. We talk a little bit about his work over at Granville Printing and what life is like in the workplace. But you know what? We also have some interesting conversations about what do you do if you don't feel like you should be wearing a mask when you go out in public. Feels like a weirdly touchy subject that we totally touch. And in addition, are we in the end times and what do we do with Revelation? So like Kevin hits all the buttons, which is, you know, one of the things I love about Kevin is he's not afraid to hit a button, but also is never been a guy who takes himself too seriously. And I love the relationship I have with him. And he's a triathlon buddy. We did Ironman Louisville together last year. And, you know, he's just a really great guy to have a conversation with. And I haven't spoken to him for a while. And so it was nice to catch up and chat. And I hope you enjoy my conversation with Kevin Rosema.
We do inserts.
Yeah. Lots of them. Yeah.
And Menards. We do Meijer. Menards, Meijer, and Aldi. Those are our three staples.
Yeah.
Okay. We've been printing Meijer for 30 years, every single week for 30 years. And in that 30-year time, they have never missed more than 2 weeks consecutively. We haven't printed for them since, it's been a month.
Since April.
It's been more than a month. It's been probably closer to two. Oh. And they have nothing on the books until like September.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you won't see a Meijer ad all summer.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's all online at this point. They got nothing in their store. They're handing out to people, like any of that kind of stuff.
Well, the big thing for Meijer, or really for like all of the retailers, is they can't advertise something that they can't guarantee to have in stock.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And so their stock, their supply chain is questionable and like, mm-hmm. they don't know.
Well, their supply chain is legit. Like I have some friends that are part of their supply chain.
Yeah.
And they're like, our supply chain is straight as long as everybody stops being crazy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And buying like 14. Yeah.
Right.
Because you plan on the order is based on how much we're going to sell in a week or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can't predict. Yeah.
Not the crazed rush of toilet paper or hamburger now or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Are you guys looking at layoffs and stuff like that?
Oh, we have nobody there.
Oh really? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean like we have easily have 75, probably more than that percent of our workforce is gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we normally on a normal day, like first shift, so to speak, we have maybe 200 people in the building.
Sure. Yeah.
I think we have 25.
Yeah.
So I mean,
what do you spend your weeks doing?
Well, like I'm not production related.
Yeah. Your role is what now? Exactly.
I don't know. I guess technically I'm like the project manager for Grand Opening.
Okay.
And, we're still working through this huge software integration. So I stay fairly busy.
And you still have a project.
Yeah, exactly. Like my life hasn't changed a whole lot, except I'm trying to balance my schedule. Because Susan and I are taking turns working from home.
Oh, okay.
She has to be in the office Monday, Wednesday, Friday, so I stay home.
Yep.
And Tuesday, Thursday are the other days.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know.
Because you've got a kid.
Right, exactly.
She can't come to work with you.
Yep, and I've taken her to work for, like, can't reschedule type meetings. I'm like, okay, but my daughter's going to be sitting outside the conference room on her iPad, and if she needs me, I'm going to leave. So, yeah.
And I would imagine everybody's got grace for that. Like people,
yeah.
I mean, that's, yeah. I sit in a meeting every week with somebody whose kids constantly come out into the meeting. Right. And it's fine.
Right.
You know, it's, yeah, what it's are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's really scary, you know, you know, we, for a while we had a whole bunch of work to do, but you know, we're considered essential only for certain segments of the industry, you know, like
right.
we're part of like the day everything went down, Meijer, before we even went into the office, Meijer had already sent us a letter through email saying you are essential to our business.
Okay.
Boom. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, and then Menards did it and Aldi did it and stuff like that. And yeah. there were some other customers that are like, you're essential, but they have to be essential too, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like we had, like we do some stuff for CRC and CRC is not essential.
Yeah.
So we have work for them to print, but we can't print it because they're not essential, which means they can't claim us as essential.
Yeah, suppliers. Which means they can't make the order from their supplier right. and all that stuff. Yeah.
So, you know, and there's only so long that customers will put their orders on hold before they become like outdated or yeah, whatever, yeah. you know,
before they're reevaluating what do we really need out of stuff?
Yeah. And,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's days that I'm just like, this sucks, man. This is really, really, really scary. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
because it's so different than anything you've ever experienced. You're like, this means anything is possible right now.
Right. Exactly. Yep. And you know, like I have some really good friends there that have been laid off.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and there's some people there that have been there a whole lot longer than me that have been laid off. And there are some that they're already on the list. Like these people won't be getting called back.
Yeah.
You know, so like we're using this also as like a spot to get a little bit more right sized. So
as a company of saying, well,
as a company, you know, right. Yeah.
But the question is, what's going to be the right size after this is like done? And like, that's the thing. None of these businesses know is like, we hope to bring you all back, but we don't have any kind of sense of it. Our business might go through the roof, you know,
yeah,
or
exactly.
it might go through the floor, or it might be somewhere in between. Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Well, like Granville Printing, for example, has like zero debt. Like we don't owe anybody any money at all. And that's very, very, very atypical for the printing industry just because everything is so expensive.
Yeah.
But in the last 3 weeks, two really large plants have shut down because they owed money and they weren't making any, and now they can't afford to open their doors back up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously that sucks for them, but there's work out there that they were doing that now they can't.
Right.
So we could go chase that work.
Right. Yeah. You could get that work. From Sadie's perspective, from your daughter's perspective, mom and dad's life hasn't changed that much. Right. But how has her world been in this? And like, how is she's in that age where it's like, she's not young enough to like totally be oblivious to this,
right.
but she's not old enough to be like, I'm taking care of myself and managing my way through it. Right. How old is she now?
She's seven.
Seven, right. I was going to say eight, but yeah, seven. So like, how does a seven-year-old respond in this last 2 months?
She really, really, this has been a challenge for her.
Has it? In what way?
Yeah, she loved school and she loves her teacher and like all, like her preschool teacher, her pre-K teacher and her kindergarten teacher. Like she has, I don't know. And maybe it's normal for kids and teachers. I don't know. Cause it's the only time I've been through it, but like,
she's the only kid you have.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But she has a super strong connection with, Heather Kyle. That was her kindergarten teacher.
Yep.
And then her pre-K teacher, like they bought, you know? And so her first grade teacher, Mrs. Melton, she hates not being able to see Mrs. Melton every day. And she hates not being able to see her friends. And we have an Alexa in her room and we just keep WCSG playing on it all the time.
Yeah.
So she wakes up to the news every morning.
maybe you should turn that off.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, like she likes it because she can get a weather report and that's important to her.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. That's her thing.
But you know, she knows that there's the sickness around going on and, you know, and she knows that we can't just go to the mall when we want to. And,
she misses being in the classroom and seeing her teacher.
Oh, big time.
And, yeah. Having a summer that's now 5 months instead of three or whatever kind of like really, really hits her, huh?
Well, and I mean, even having 5 months of summer with not being able to do anything, like who cares?
Yeah. You know?
But it's just, but she's like, I don't know, behaviorally, this is a challenge because she doesn't really have that out.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. We try to do as much as we can to keep active and to keep outside and stuff like that. But the weather's been crappy.
Yeah. You've had a couple of nice days, but otherwise,
yeah,
there's not much to do. And, right. And even if you, and you don't have the opportunity to be like, let's go to the park, right? Uh-huh. Because you're not supposed to be in the park. And if you did go, 1,000 other people are going to be there, not supposed to be there either, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And we've been trying to be, I don't know. We go all over the board with that too. I mean, like Susan carries a mask in her car.
Yeah.
You know, but she has one of an N95 mask from work.
I do the same thing. Yeah.
But like, I went to Meijer with Sadie on Friday and there was a whole bunch of masks on and we didn't have masks because I don't know, because I have opinions about that. And it's just like, those people have their opinions. I have mine. And that's,
what are your opinions on that?
I don't feel like a t-shirt is going to stop me from getting sick. I don't think this is going to stop me from getting sick. And sure. I don't think this is going to stop you from getting my sickness. That's just my opinion.
I don't know. Does it hurt you to put one on?
No, it doesn't hurt me at all to put one on. I don't have one and I'm not going to make the effort to get one because I think the whole idea is dumb. That's me, you know, and we try to make the best decisions that we can as far as, I mean, we've gone to Pigeon Creek and walked around, you know, and we've gone to the Hudsonville Nature Center and we've walked around you know, our neighborhood went through a phase. I think that's kind of changed now, but our neighborhood went through a phase where kids can play together, just stay out of the garages and stay out of the houses, stay in the yards.
Right.
And then you all can play together, you know?
Yeah.
And so I don't know what the right thing to do is and, you know, to try and.
So why does that feel hard right now in terms of like, cause I don't think you're wrong to say like, I'm not exactly sure what the right thing to do is. Right. Like,
right.
I think that's a tension for many of us in the situation of like, well, what's the right thing to do? So, but why is that hard for you when they're telling you right now, the right thing to do is wear a mask and don't have your kid play with other kids. Like you're being told, here's the recommendations of what the right thing to do is.
Right. Right.
But you say, but my opinion is that that's not true.
Right. I mean, right. And then that's the thing. You're like, okay, fine. I'm going to listen to this person.
Sure.
But wait, there's 8 people that are saying this person's wrong. And there's 8 people saying each of those 8 people are wrong. So I just am like.
So in a world where that's true, and like that's the tension, right? Like that's so. I don't know how you feel about this. It's so stinking frustrating to me.
Oh my God.
And it makes.
But I think I feel how I'm kind of telling you how I feel about it.
Yeah. But it makes sense that you would have the opinion, Scott, you're dumb for putting a mask on to go to the store.
Oh, and I don't think anybody else is dumb for doing it. I just don't think it's right for me.
Right. I'm saying it makes sense that you would have that. And it would make sense for me to go, I think you're dumb for the other opinion, right?
Right.
I don't think you're dumb because I like you, but. But it makes sense why we would have different opinions on that because at the end of the day, the only way it feels like the only way we're making decisions is based on what we, on our own internal compass.
Right.
I just hate that. I hate so it so much.
Yep. But yeah,
because there's too much narrative, on any one decision, on any one, anything where the truth of what is true is like, it's so hard to know anymore. We don't, even if it is true, even if nobody else is, even if somebody said, Kevin, if everybody just wore a hat, the virus would stop tomorrow. And if every leading expert in the country said that that was the answer, we still wouldn't believe it.
The right? thing is like, if I got consistent information, I would buy it. If the entire medical community as a whole that said, hey, you know what? We finally figured it out. Wear a hat. And then everybody said, yep, wear a hat. I would put a hat on. I would put hats in my front yard for other people. I would do all of those things. But I'm getting people that are saying, you got to wear a hat. Well, no, you got to wear this kind of hat. Nope, wearing a hat is going to get you sick.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, that's where we just have been trying to make the best decisions we can. And
to be fair, I think more people are telling you to wear masks than are not.
And you probably are right. You're probably right, but I don't have one. So.
All right. I'll drop one off in your mailbox for you.
You know, but And then it's very easy for me to rationalize my position.
Well, that's the thing. We all, that's like totally normal for every single one of us, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember, I had this conversation on the podcast before too, but the idea that, the government is asking us, or, you know, they're closing whatever businesses and they're asking you to stay in your house unless you have to, you know, for work or for, you know, things to be essential or whatever it is. Yeah, but I really want to go somewhere, and I'm going to rationalize that by saying, and I bet there's not going to be that many other people there. And even if I do, I'll just do it this way. Like, we create our, and it's like, I'm as guilty as that as any other single person that's out there. It's amazing at how fast we go, but I'm the exception. Like, it's so easy. Like, I wonder how we got our brains wired that way. Right.
Yeah.
Cause you know, I live in a world of like, biblical history. When I think about the Israelite community wandering in the desert, right? I mean, listen, if people, I get this, I hear this all the time too, this idea that, well, nobody should be putting these kind of rules on how we can worship God or whatever, right? Like, I don't know, read the Old Testament. There's a lot of rules about how to worship God. There's a lot of rules about how to stay healthy and hygienic and clean. Wash your hands a specific way before you come into the temple, right? Like,
right.
There's all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I feel like they were a community that, all right, this is what the rules are. We gotta abide by them. I mean, maybe it was because if you didn't, you got kicked out of the camp and left to die. And that's our difference, right? But
right.
I don't know. I don't want to get all the way down that road, but
no, I know. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a hard conversation to even to have, like,
it is
because
it is.
I don't know where you fall on the mask thing. So asked me and I'm like, everybody who wears a mask is an idiot. Well, now I just insulted you as a human being.
Sure,
you
sure,
know?
Yeah. And but the thing about relationship is I know, like, even if you and I have different opinions on stuff, I know it's not because you don't like me.
Right? You know?
Yeah. In fact, like, I think we would all be better off if we just engage. I mean, the mask conversation is a simple precursor to like a lot of these kind of conversations, right?
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, it's like, if we all, instead of were afraid on the side each other were on, and instead chose to say, I actually care about you and I know you care about me, so let's have a conversation about something we disagree on.
Yeah.
We might be way better at this.
Yeah.
All right. We better get into your two questions though.
Yeah.
You know, I'm running on the time limit a little bit today, so we're going to keep moving, but this has been great stuff so far.
Are you 7 minutes past your preaching time now because it's 9:07 and aren't you supposed to be on my Vimeo or?
I mean, if you turn it on, you'll find it, but I'm already there. So tell me what you got for your first question today.
So, okay. And maybe if I brought a couple. So,
oh, okay.
You, you warned me to have some backups in case it's something you already talked about.
Yeah.
So like the first thing is like, you know, with Sadie, you know, how do I, or how, I don't know, not like how do I.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm asking you, but more of like a rhetorical, like how do I keep her safe, you know, in a world where everybody is telling me that it's just incredibly unsafe to have her outside of my house and at the same time, not bring her, not like raise her and let her live in this sense of anxiety and panic. And
isn't that the question right now?
She's the only one I've had. I don't have any experience with this. And like with a lot of the stuff with like growing into my first child and that kind of, like I can ask my sister, hey, what happened with your daughter at this age about this thing? She can tell me.
That's how I navigated it, right?
But now it's okay, how are you dealing with this with your kids? And not just like, you know, it's like saying which side of the aisle did you vote on, you know?
Unfortunately, like it all boils down to that at the
right
end of the day,
exactly
right?
Yeah, you know?
Ugh, that's frustrating too. But yeah, there's no like, how did you handle this when you had your 7-year-old in a pandemic? Right. Like,
right. Well, I don't know.
Cause that tension point, I think is so, I think, and my kids are a little bit different because as of today, they're both 13 and 13, right? So they're, it's a different conversation than with a 7 year old.
Sure.
But I remember when my kids were in that middling between 5 and 10 or even 12, like it's, in some ways, this isn't that different because it's like, how much of the world do we allow her to understand and experience and discuss with her?
Right.
Because the minute I do, it's going to create 1,000 other questions and 1,000,000 other anxieties.
Right.
Because the world is scary, right? You know, like the world is, when you teach her, like, you know what? Don't get into a car with a stranger. Right.
Right. Right.
Wait, there's strangers that are dangerous to, like, I bet every time you have one of these conversations, you're like, well, great. Now I introduced a little bit of reality to my sweet 7-year-old daughter. And yeah. I'm sad that I took away her innocence in that moment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what this feels like.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, like Sadie's also like very, very, I don't know, like not overly sensitive or anything like that. But like when I fell down my stairs,
yeah,
dude, like her day was wrecked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she thought that I was really hurt and, you know, she really felt that.
So we do these things as parents that are like, we talk around a thing, right?
Yeah.
Like where we talk to our partner and we're like, hey, listen, I'm not going to tell him this because if I tell him this, it's going to ruin his day or he's going to obsess over it or he's going to freak out or,
yeah,
you know, like we're just going to not deal with it. But this is like a thing you can't not deal with anymore. Mm-hmm. If it were 3 weeks, it would have been a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
But now like, and who in the world knows what's going to happen? Because are we going to have school in the fall? Are we going to do whatever? Like you
right.
don't even know. So I, you know, I think the only thing I've been able to do with my kids is to try to give, at the very least, is to give them, is to decide, is this something I can, if I move around it or away from it, or if I kind of talk around it, will the consequence of that be negligible? Right? Like, if this were going to go away, I could just say, hey, you know, there's stuff happening out there. People are getting sick and, you know, everybody wants to try to stay inside so they don't get sick. Right. Which is kind of probably where you're at right now with her is what I'm guessing. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at some point, she's going to be like, yeah, but 5 months later, Dad,
everybody yeah, right. got sick.
I don't think you need to tell her about the politics of that, but it, yeah, I've chosen at a lot of times to say, listen, you're not going to be able to get away from this. Mm-hmm. And let me just tell you something that's true about the world. And that's how I've done it with my kids.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know, we've got, everybody has some kind of family story, right? Like yeah. there's something in your family that like your kid doesn't know about yet, but when they're older, they're gonna need to know about.
Maybe more than a few things in my family.
So. Right. Yeah. And I've got those too. And at some point when my kids were, you know, older, I'm like, hey, let me tell you something that's true about this relative mm-hmm. or about this relative story that you're just going to need to know. And every time I've done that, their eyes get big and they're like, oh, I didn't. And it's funny because you as an adult went through life going, this is constantly in the narrative of my family. Right. Mm-hmm. But they had no clue. And they were just,
right.
and you hate to take that innocence away from them, but they need it to manage their way through the world. So
right.
at some point, Sadie's got to manage her way through the world too. But
yeah, I know. That's, I don't know.
That's not a real answer, but like.
No. Yeah. Well, and that's like a thing. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess I didn't approach any of these questions like, good, these are answers Scott can give me. But
I know.
These are questions that we can discuss because I don't get to have conversations like this very often.
Yeah, I've always just sort of waited on like, if how much is this going to ruin their life if I tell them this?
Right.
And, you know, is it going to last for an hour or a day or a year? Right. Yeah. Versus how much is my child going to need this to manage their way in a healthy way through the world?
And, yeah.
you know, I think unfortunately with a pandemic, a lot of us are going, they're going to need to know this to manage their way through the world a lot more sooner than I wish they would.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. And to be able to say like, yeah, people do die from this. And I don't think like, I don't tell my kids the numbers in every county. And like,
right.
You know, once we got through it the first few weeks, which for us, it was, hey, they're talking about no school to the end of the year. hey, maybe there's summer school. I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. oh, maybe they might not have it in the fall. Like, at some point they get used to that's what is true.
Yep.
And they're like, after about 2 or 3 weeks, they were fine. So,
yeah.
But knowing you got to put the helmet on and go into the hard conversation for a while and deal with the questions she's going to bring up that you're not prepared for.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, even, and you know, at a 7-year-old too, it's like we have behavioral issues that are happening now because she's sick of being inside and there's only so many arts and crafts and there's only so much glitter and there's where it's just like, daddy, I'm sick of this and I'm going to act out because I don't know how to express myself any different, you know?
Yeah. Do you ask her, like, I mean, if I'm a parent, I'm reacting to that and going, knock it off. Right.
Right.
But I've also felt like in this season, I've had a lot more grace for my kids realizing, oh, this is hard. And that's probably where this is coming from. And sometimes I'll ask them, like, what are you feeling right now? You know, where's this coming from? And like, they're 13. They can have that conversation maybe better than a 7-year-old can, but, Yeah.
Normally I run into that like after the fact.
Right. Yeah. Well, at least you
after
do
we've already argued and then I'm like, oh crap, hang on. But oh yeah. Like in the last several weeks, I've gone into Sadie's room, you know, a few minutes after she has been asked to go there and just be like, hey man, I made a mistake. I'm sorry, Sadie.
Yeah. That's good parenting, you know, man.
So I don't know.
But and, I know parents who like, talk about this pretty regularly with their kids of like, not details, but just like helping them acknowledge that being cooped up is hard and we don't have a lot of control over it. And when things feel out of control, we feel out of control. And, you know, like at this point people are going, well, now we just got to talk about it a lot instead of before we were choosing to not talk about it at all.
Yeah. Right.
And then you finally get in the middle. So, Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's helpful for other parents who are listening to. I mean, dude, the truth is everybody's situation is so different, is unique.
Yeah. Yep.
You have one daughter who is 7. You have two parents who are juggling their full-time jobs.
Yeah.
I have two boys who are 13. And like we have been at home and don't have to go to work and you know, that sort of thing. Right.
Yeah.
Other people have got 4 kids and 2 jobs and a single parent, 3 kids and, you know, like babies and like it's everyone. The uniqueness of our families has now like created such a unique home situation.
Yep.
That it's tough to navigate. So
what's your
other question? Thanks for that one. I appreciate that one.
No problem. This one may not be quite as, I don't know, but
The first one was better. I got it.
The first one, maybe I should have opened with this one and then gone into the second one, but anyway, so like this whole, you know, we've got wars and rumors of wars and we've got sickness and pestilence running rampant in the world. And, you know, it is easy for a brain like mine to start seeing this like massive vaccine and registration of vaccine and proof that you were vaccinated. And it's easy for me to find those parallels in the book of Revelations, you know, because that's how my brain is wired. And maybe that's not the first conversation you've had on this subject, but like, I don't know. I can't help but get there in my head, you know, and then like I've had this conversation with somebody at church or I'm sorry, with somebody at work that we're both believers and we both, but
you believe your
our denomination says that we believe things a little bit differently anyway.
Yeah.
But like at the end of the day, it's like, you know what, if this is the book of Revelations, like starting to come to fruition, like who cares? I know where I'm going to go. I know where my wife is going to go. I know where you know what I mean? So bring on the 4 horsemen. I don't care. You know,
you know, if there were ever a more true statement that Kevin Rosema would say, I don't know if there's one beyond, that's very true to who you are.
Right.
You know, I would say this, the way you frame that of like, it's easy for me to look around right now and make the parallels, right?
Yeah.
I would say there has rarely been a time in our modern history where that hasn't been true.
Right.
Right.
And that's,
and listen, just because it's true in a way, in a particular way in West Michigan and the United States,
Yeah.
Doesn't mean these things were not true at other, like in other parts of the world right now.
Right. Right.
You know, like this stuff is so normalized. And also Revelation is written at a time to a people, right?
Yeah.
That is true of every book in the Bible. And we have to understand some historical context behind it and what the Roman Empire felt like to Christianity at the time this was written. And you know what it didn't feel like? Microchips and vaccines, right?
Right.
Kind of the language we use. So.
And frankly, I mean, like, I go
frankly,
back
that
like
stuff is true right now. Like, listen, vaccines is not a new technology.
Right.
You have been registered with vaccines for a very long time. You're like this is, there's nothing, as you know, as Solomon would say, there's nothing new under the sun.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You know?
Yep.
So, I think your perspective is helpful because, in a sense, what I heard you say was, even if that is true, what am I going to do about it?
Right.
Right. Like
I have this in my mind, I've got these compartments of like right and wrong and like what I should be doing versus what I actually do. And I have a really big column in my life that says, does it really matter?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
I mean, I would say though, like in some ways it does matter.
Yeah.
And if this heightens your awareness of how spirituality matters, I don't mind that at all. Right.
Yeah.
Because if following Jesus matters to you,
mm-hmm.
and something like this makes following Jesus matter to you more,
all right.
That's not a bad thing, first and foremost. And what it should do to you is seek to help other people follow Jesus and drive you deeper into your relationship with Jesus.
Okay.
Like that is our response to anything that happens, like personally to us, globally that happens to us. Like that's the right response. So I don't actually ever mind people, you know. Listen, you can do math equations to look at Revelation if you want, and people do. People have been doing this for 100 years, right? It's not new. Just because you can see it in a YouTube video right now, right? And you couldn't 50 years ago doesn't mean it's new, right?
Yeah.
But again, the narrative of the Bible is always pointing you towards the same actions, right? The narrative of the gospel is always pointing you to the same thing. Love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Like help people find their way back to God. And like that is, so you want to do that more? Great.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, like I don't know what other reaction you would have to Revelation, even if it was happening in our time, right?
Right.
The charge to us as disciples of Jesus is the same, I think.
Yeah. Fair enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like I go back when I don't know, when my mind gets in these weird loops.
and I get why it does, right?
Yeah. Right. Because it's a carnival up here. So that's why. But you know, when I was a youth group leader with my previous church, you know, there was like one kid that he was just so smart. And like he and I just connected in like a different way.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it was like the second time that my mom got cancer. Like he and I were the whole big backstory, but the conversation was very similar to this. And he's just like, Kev, like, don't get it twisted, man. Like this is the best the world has ever been in all of history.
Yeah.
The world that we're living in now is the most technologically, the safest, the healthiest that it has ever been.
Right. Yeah.
So to say that, you know, things are so screwed up now, like, no.
In many ways, they're better than they've ever been.
They're way better than, right. Like, it's been a long time since we've launched a sick body over a wall.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
but again, you look at other parts of the world and it's like, you know, living life in a refugee camp.
Right. Like, yeah.
And living life in a life where they will abduct your children and turn them into child soldiers and cut their hands off. Like, if that doesn't feel like apocalypse to a community, like, I don't know what does, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, again, I think in some ways it's arrogant for us to go, oh, this is it.
Oh, yeah.
Because in other times and other, like, places, like, if you were living through stinking World War II, when my grandpa was out there, you know, in France fighting these battles, you don't feel like that's the apocalypse? Suddenly we're like, oh, because they want to give us a vaccine to keep us safe from a flu virus, that's the end of the world.
All right, you put it in context like that, and this whole conversation is really stupid.
No. We are out of our depth, and that's why we go to these places.
Yeah.
And this is just my opinion, man. Like, and I'm not the foremost scholar on Revelation, okay?
Yeah.
That's, but it's also, Revelation wasn't a book that was designed for you to also go, if you bop it and twist it and smack it in the right order, then you've unlocked a code, right?
Right.
Like, that's not how it works.
Right.
You know? Like, it's a book of the Bible, and there's a lot of allegory in it, you know? And listen, there is also no way, the way God's heart works isn't that like, oh, Kev, I loved you. And then you went and got a flu vaccine. And so now I can't allow you to be in relationship with me.
Right.
Because
I mean,
you called it a mark of a beast. Like, you know, like that's not how God works. It's never how God has worked.
Right.
Doggone it. You screwed up and now you're out of relationship with
right.
me. Like that is the antithesis yeah. of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's a little frustrating for me to be like, oh, well, if I screw this up, if I unintentionally do something wrong, I'm going to miss it. And it's like, that is not how God works, you know?
Right. Well, right. Yeah. Cause I mean, like from there, you know, like I said, like, okay, I get this, you know, I get this microchip embedded in my skull and I have this cool little badge that I wear. And that's like this big act that has like separated me from Christ. Well,
right. Yeah.
To your point, like that's not how it works, you know?
And it's, if there's anything this has taught us right now, it's that I honestly don't know what the next 3 weeks are going to do. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us to start going, well, you know, they're gonna make us do all of this stuff. And we know how the future's going to go if we do that.
Right.
Is even more preposterous right now. If there's anything like they've taught you is like, well, it doesn't make sense for you to predict that in the future.
Right. Right. So,
yeah. You said this was the easier question.
I don't know. I thought just because I know that, I mean, like I said, like this really kind of falls into that category of like, does it really matter kind of thing is if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And if I'm helping people find their way back to God and then the rest just happens, you know.
Be a good disciple of Jesus, you know. Yeah. And a good disciple of Jesus looks at Jesus and says, how did Jesus live, you know, and how did he interact with people, which we can therefore translate to guide our words, our deeds, our interactions online, you know, like all that kind of stuff, and bring people to the feet of Jesus. Like, what would love drive you to do? Like, those are the questions we should be asking right now. Not what fear would drive us to do, not what my own like smart brain would drive me to do, right? Like, and not what, like, this is the conversation we're having around the church of like, what decisions do we make as churches? Well, the number one question is, how do we do the best to not harm people? And how do we do the best to be good news to people, right? Like, that's, man, it's pretty simple. If we just hang around there, then go ahead, dabble in prophetic books of the Bible, but like, don't get lost in that either. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. I don't know, I felt like this topic is just like the softball of conversation right now. It's, I don't know. And maybe it's not, but
no, this is a good conversation. I'm really glad we got to hang out and talk.
So did I. So am I.
And I'm sure, like, people are going to like this episode and have some feedback on everything. Like,
wow, Kevin is a nut job, man.
Everything from wearing masks to how we raise our kids to, is this the end of the world?
So, right.
Dude, what better episode could we have put together today?
This sounds like an Iron Man conversation, right?
All right, man. Well, thanks for being on the podcast today. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for this opportunity, man. It was fun.